Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
You're listening to the Disney Govcast, your place for all topics related to Disney parks. Hello everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Disney Govcast. I'm your host, Richie. Just to give you a quick brief background on myself, I run the Disney Gov social media accounts, and I've been a Disney and Disney Parks fan pretty much all my life. I'm currently a Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris pass holder, and I also hold a D23 Gold membership. I visit Disneyland Paris very frequently and the US parks as much as I can, and I'm actually yet to experience Disney cruises or any of the Asian parks, but hopefully that's not too far away. So as I mentioned, I run a number of accounts under the Disney Gov name, which span Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you may have also heard me as a guest on the ED92 podcast, which I record my very good friends Elliot, DLP Town Square, and Mr. ED92 himself. So the general premise of this podcast is to have a sort of sit-down conversation with myself, ranging from a number of topics and areas of the parks, but in a bit more of a focused and detailed presentation. I'll be drawing on my own sort of personal experiences from the parks and my own knowledge, and later on in the shows I'll also be inviting some of you to write in and offer your thoughts and comments, and I can sort of bounce them back and forth. So now we have sort of all this exposition covered, I want to get into what this very first episode's content is going to be all about. So coming up soon, I'll be making my second ever trip to Disneyland Resort in California, the original Disney park. And the topic of this podcast is going to be the top 10 things that I'm going to be looking forward to at Disneyland Resort for my upcoming trip next month in March. Basically, the idea of this is for me to talk about the things I'm excited about, but also to give you guys sort of a bit of information about each of these things in case you have a trip coming up or you might be planning a trip. So while we're sort of discussing my own personal preferences, I want to give it a bit more detail to back it up and hopefully teach you something that you might not have known. So let's start with number 10 on the top 10 things. These are in some moderate order of how much I'm looking forward to them. The top tier ones are a little bit mixed about, but when we start to get down to like the top three, then I've sort of ranked them in order of excitement for myself personally anyway. But if we're going to start here at number 10, I'm going to have to say that it's Pixar Pier for me, because last time that I was at Disneyland Resort, and more specifically Disney California Adventure, was May in 2018, so give or take it was about a year ago, and that area was pretty much a construction site. None of the attractions were open other than Midway Mania, and I think one snack stall was operational, which was like the Frosted Snowman Treats or whatever it's called. That was it. It was a massive construction site. There was like scaffolding up all over what was California Screaming, and it was kind of tough to see but also kind of exciting for the future. So now when I visit again, while not absolutely everything with Pixar Pier is open because their rollout of that land has been, transformation of that land has been kind of messy, I'll finally get to ride the Incredicoaster, because I've never had the chance to ride California Screaming, so I'm really, really excited to try that out. And also Pixar Pal-Around, which was previously Mickey's Fun Wheel. I'm incredibly excited to try one of the swinging gondolas in there. I've heard from my friend John how utterly terrifying that experience is, but I'm really, really excited to finally get a go on that. Of course, you've got a few of the different like treat stands and stuff like that. You've got like the Cookie Num Num and stuff like that, which is super popular amongst people. Everyone's sort of talking about that. And yeah, it just looks like it. While I understand that people have mixed opinions on the land and stuff, I never got to experience Paradise Pier. So for me, going in and getting to experience Pixar Pier, I think I'll probably like it. I completely understand and relate to why people might have like a sour opinion of it or anything like that, but for me, it's pretty much going to be experiencing a brand new land and a brand new place that isn't all under tarp and isn't things. So it's an exciting time. It's something new for me to experience in quite the grand scale of things. Plus, I love Pixar, you know, like you got some cool merchandise, stuff like that. So I don't know, I'm really willing to give this place a chance. Like, I'm not going to go into it with a negative attitude. I want to enjoy myself and I want to like it. So let's see how it goes. Let's move on to number 9. So an interesting one for number 9 here. It's actually the return of Fantasmic. So Fantasmic right now is down for refurbishment, and there's a lot of different things happening at Disneyland Resort right now as part of Project Stardust, which is getting everything nice and cleaned up and ready for summer when Galaxy's Edge opens, because they're expecting some crazy crowds at that time. So they're just trying to give, you know, Disneyland a little bit of a facelift and stuff like that, just to make sure everything's in tip-top condition. And as a part of that, Fantasmic is actually undergoing refurbishment, and it's a moderately really lengthy refurbishment. But I'm actually there on the 8th of March, which is a Friday, and that is the evening that it returns from its refurbishment. So because of this, I've actually booked myself a Fantasmic dining package, just to help me get quite a good spot right at the front, because I don't know how busy it's going to be. I imagine quite a few of the local APs are probably going to make the effort to return to come see its grand reveal, I guess, in a sense, after refurbishment, see if there's any differences, see what's changed, updated. And I've booked myself that at the Riverbell Terrace. I've got myself lunch there. I actually did this experience when I last visited in May, and it was super fantastic. It was one of the best meals I had there. I think I'd like the beef and cheddar sandwich or something like that, and they do this cool Fantasmic dessert. It's really well priced, and you get a fantastic front row seat if you get there early enough. So yeah, another thing that's kind of cool is while Fantasmic is down, they're actually doing evening rides on the Mark Twain. So that's something you can't usually experience when Fantasmic's running, because they need to have that cleared and set up for the show. But at the moment, people are getting some really beautiful rides on the Mark Twain around the Rivers of America with all like the lights on and stuff. So hopefully that'll still be running on the days leading up to its return. I don't know if it'll be down from show preparation on the evening or whatever, but if I have the chance to experience both of these things, that would be incredible, because a nighttime ride on the Mark Twain, I can imagine being really, really beautiful, looking over New Orleans Square lit up and stuff. So fingers crossed I get sort of like a double whammy with that experience moving from one to the other. And right, let's move on to number 8. So this is where we start introducing the sort of the overriding theme of what's going to be happening when I'm there. So it's Mickey and Minnie's 90th birthday, and Disneyland Resort and Walt Disney World chose to have their celebrations a little bit later than Disneyland Paris. Disneyland Paris sort of merged their celebrations with Halloween and Christmas to have it on time, because Mickey and Minnie's birthday, their on-screen debut, in a sense, was on the 17th of November. So Disneyland Paris, while being commended to have theirs on time, they never had a full dedicated season with it. They sort of merged into their Halloween and Christmas, and we got cool things like surprise Mickey and stuff. But by the US parks choosing to have it a little bit later, so starting in January, they are able to have a full-blown dedicated season to this. So at Disneyland, their celebrations are called the Get Your Ears On. So it's a big celebration all around Mickey and Minnie. Disneyland are branding it as Mickey and Minnie, whereas Disneyland Paris, moderately controversially, only really branded it as Mickey. So I'm really happy that both of these characters are getting included, Mickey and Minnie together. And the whole point of this with number 8 is I'm actually really looking forward to the food offerings that they're going to have for Get Your Ears On. So you may have seen on my blog or on a Disney Parks blog, a few different people have been talking about this, and they actually have produced like a food booklet. So it's almost like a ticky off list of all the different specific offerings that are here just for the Get Your Ears On party. So these special food offerings are running until May. And overall, the whole celebrations don't actually have an end date as of yet. I believe I've been told that the extra shows, which are currently on, which I'll actually get into later, will be running at least into the summer. So we'll see about that. But I do know that the special snack offerings are listed to end in May. But pretty much every food outlet or snack cart has at least one thing on the menu. There is an absolute incredible abundance of different types of foods and cool themed snacks which are going to be available. And you have things like Mickey pizza, Mickey shaped burgers, which is like a big burger with two Mickey, like tiny little burgers shoved on to make it look like Mickey ears, like kind of fun, ridiculous stuff like that. But also you have the usual suspects of like the crazy flavored churros, the special dusted and decorated ice creams, like the kitchen sink pots that are shaped like Mickey and Minnie's pants that you have filled with ice cream. And these snacks span across Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure as well. So there's just an insane amount of things to eat. Like, I'm really excited to try some of these things because, like, if you know me, you know I always harp on about Disneyland food and the quality of Disneyland food and their snacks. I don't think it's matched at any other park I visited personally in the world. I can't comment on the Asian parks, but as far as the Western parks concerned, Disneyland, I think, knocks it out of the park with their snacks and food offerings and all that kind of stuff. So while some of it is fun, it tastes good as well. And it's not terribly priced as well in general, their food there. But I'm always up for fun themed foods that I can take good pictures of that look fun, but also taste great. Like, that's never a bad thing, right? So we're going to move on to number 7 now, which is hopping back over to Disney California Adventure. Two characters that I've never met before is Ralph and Vanellope. And as part of the sort of marketing, I guess you can say, for Ralph Breaks the Internet, Ralph and Vanellope have started meeting in Disney California Adventure Park. Now, unlike the Walt Disney World meet and greet, it doesn't have a backdrop. They don't meet together, sadly, they're back-to-back, but I can take this. Another thing to mention is I've never actually met these characters before, but they have just had updated looks also, which I believe debuted in the middle of last year, I believe it is, because I saw, in Walt Disney World, I saw the updated versions of the two characters on the Boo to You parade, and it's a really nice upgrade. There's some minor adjustments, but the quality of the character just looks fantastic. I think it's really cool that they got updated so recently after the first Wreck-It Ralph came out, which I don't know why they made that decision, but it's kind of cool. But yeah, so it'll be my first time meeting both Ralph and Vanellope, so they will bring my character count up. It'd be really nice to get pictures with them. It's a bit of a shame that they don't have a backdrop, they just kind of meet outside and they are back to back. But I'll take it, you know, I'm really excited to get to meet them. Ralph is huge, he looks awesome. Vanellope is really cute with her new look, she's loads of fun. And anyone that I've seen get pictures of these guys, they seem to have great interaction and stuff like that. And I think it's really nice that they have such like a current up-to-date meet and greet. Probably something that Disneyland Paris needs to learn and work on, because with things like the Zootopia characters and Ralph Breaks the Internet, and they weren't too bad with Moana, I guess they had Moana out, but sort of with a few more fur characters and stuff like that, Incredibles 2 I guess is a good one because we only got Edna Mode late. They need to have these current meet and greets in the park, I feel like, to be in time with the movie releases. So like Ralph and Vanellope, they both went straight into the parks in the US around the time to help with the promotion, but in France we haven't seen a thing. I mean, Vanellope got a meet and greet at the Mickey 90 AP party, which was kind of a random choice, but it's old look Vanellope as well. I chose not to meet her because I knew that I was going to come and meet new look Vanellope in Disneyland, and I went to see other characters, but whatever, like, that's just like a weird pet hate I have with Disneyland Paris. They need to get these new characters in time with the movies. They need to have them out meeting and greeting guests to help promote the movies. It kind of just makes sense for me. But anyway, I digress on that. I'm just excited to meet these guys because that's going to be really cool. And I think they're two really good-looking, beautiful characters, and it's going to be loads of fun. So check out on Twitter up there. I'll be posting all those on Instagram as well. Let's move on to number 6 now. So thing at number 6 is actually merchandise. Now, I've chosen to say this because I mean this kind of in the broader sense, where in Disneyland Paris, there's a little bit of a merchandise, I don't know if I want to call it problem, but I don't think that as a general rule, the quality of the merchandise at Disneyland Paris is that great. I'm just going to go out there and say it. Some of the limited edition stuff is nice, some of the stuff that the pin teams create is fantastic, but as a general thing, I walk into the Emporium and nothing grabs me saying, I need to buy this. Whereas the country I visit, Disneyland, and I have to restrain myself. My wallet restrains me because there is so much amazing, beautiful merchandise that Disneyland creates, and they just kind of know the market so well. And something that I understand that the Paris audience maybe is a little bit different, but as a fan that goes to Disneyland, I want to buy everything. And like I said earlier, the last time I visited Disneyland was in May of last year. So that's a long time for new merchandise to come out, like new look merchandise and stuff like that. So there's a few more spirit jerseys I want to get, like a few new t-shirts. And I believe that they have some quite nice merchandise for Get Your Ears On with Mickey and Minnie's 90th. So I want to kind of check that out, see what cool shirts they have and caps and all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the kind of things that I do enjoy doing in Disneyland. You can just take some time to actually shop. Whereas I go to Disneyland Paris that often that I just kind of see the same things over and over again. And usually it's the things that I don't really want to buy or I'm not interested in. So to then go all the way to Disneyland and actually need to take time out to look in all these different stores and see what they have and actually be really interested in the merchandise and stuff and actually spend some money and go shopping, it's a nice change. And it's also a nice change of pace as well if you're just like hitting up all the attractions or doing loads of character meet and greets. If you want to just take a little bit more of a step down and relax a little bit, then you can just go and look in some nice cool shops. And yeah, I guess it's just a weird thing that I have. Like, I actually kind of like doing different things in the parks. Like, you need to cut your days up a little bit. You can't just go, because you will just burn yourself out. So sitting down and relaxing and going shopping is kind of just what I like to take time out and do. So now we're going to move to number 5. This is another offering from the Get Your Ears on Pie. A lot of this trip is a big Mickey 19, Mini 90 thing for me. But it's actually the entertainment that they have on offer in Disneyland for this season. I guess, is it a season? Like, I guess it's kind of a season. Yeah, because they've got decorations on Main Street and stuff like that. So I'm going to head and call it like a pretty much a full-blown season. So what it is actually two pieces of entertainment that I've never seen before. One new and one returning. The returning piece of entertainment is Sound Sational, which is a parade that I've never actually seen before. It looks pretty cool. I mean, you've got Mickey playing the drums and all that kind of stuff. The parade last time that I went was the Pixar Play Parade, because it was during Pixar Fest that I went, and it was an okay parade. I mean, there's some cool characters on there that I've never seen before. Some of the Monsters University characters and stuff like that, like Mr. Potato Head, I guess he was kind of like on the parade as a character and stuff. But I felt like it wasn't a fully fledged blown main park parade. Because I feel like Sound Sational kind of has that extravagance to it and stuff like that. And I know the song, it's a great song, so it'd be awesome to finally see the parade to the music and hear that playing through Disneyland Park. I think that'd be quite a special thing. And there's some cool characters on it as well. And the other piece of entertainment, which is the brand new nighttime show, which I'm incredibly excited about, is Mickey's Mixed Magic. Now, this is a collection of kind of random Disney songs. I like, they've chosen some really random ones here, but they've all been sort of remixed. And I believe that the story of the show, or like the lore of it, is that Mickey has remixed to these for Minnie's birthday, and like for both their birthday parties. So you have songs like Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, Let It Go, the song from Coco, Poco Loco. But they've all been like remixed, this crazy like upbeat, almost dance rave versions of all these tracks. And that mixed with the Main Street projections and the castle projections, and then on the weekends they have fireworks of that as well. Plus you have that insane Mickey and Minnie classic, which is Good Time, which has obviously come out for their birthday, which is now starting to play in those parks after we've finished with it in Paris, which I'm just addicted to this song. That's in there, and there's a cool like remix version of that at the end. So I think all of that put together and combined is going to be just incredible. I mean, hearing Good Time just in Disneyland for the first time, like hearing it in a different park other than Disneyland Paris is going to be a weird sort of thing to experience, but I'm going to love it because I'm just addicted to this song so much. And yeah, so that's going to be really cool. So two, not new pieces of entertainment, one's a returning one, but two new to me pieces of entertainment, which I'm just incredibly, incredibly excited about checking out and listening to and experiencing and dancing along to. And moving down to number 4 now, is we're back to another character meet and greet, which has recently been introduced. Now, it's not really a meet and greet. She's been added to the park. It's Vampirina from Disney Junior. She's actually been added only a few days ago now to the Disney Junior Dance Party and Disney California Adventure. Now, I've never met Vampirina. She debuted her meet and greet at Disney Hollywood Studios last October, almost days after I left, so I literally missed her by days, so I was really upset about that. But it's okay, because I'm going to try and get like a selfie with her, or get a picture with her at this dance party. I'm going to pop in there quite quickly, see if I can get a quick picture with her, because that would be awesome to actually meet her, because I think she's a really cool looking character. She's really cool. Yeah, so there's a few new character options for me there, which I'm really excited about. Now we're starting to get down to the top 3. So I'm going to be going a little bit more in depth about some of these ones. These are pretty much like the biggest things that have pulled me to choose to come to Disneyland at this time, because this was a very last minute booking, last minute decision to do this. But a few of these things, these are the top three things that influenced me. And I'll tell you which one was the main influence. But first of all, we need to look at number three, which is actually the chance to meet and greet with Edna Mode. When I heard that she was going to be getting made into a character, a meetable character at the parks, I thought it was like one of the coolest decisions ever. Like, what a fantastic idea to have an Edna Mode meet and greet. This is something I've wanted for so long after first seeing like Incredibles for the first time. And I'm so happy that The Incredibles 2 came around and was such an amazing movie, and that it's given us all this cool Incredibles stuff back in the parks, because I just love The Incredibles. It's such like an underlooked Pixar movie, I feel like. But yeah, Edna Mode, she's amazing. I really, really, really want to meet her. So she only just debuted meeting in Disney Hollywood Studios really recently, but she's been around Pixar Pier and at DCA for a little while now. Disneyland Paris, she only just debuted at the New Year's Eve party. But she wasn't meeting, she was just up on stage during the dance party, and I don't think that anytime soon Edna will be meeting for reasons. So she might appear in a few shows, but not meetable, so think about that. But yeah, a chance to have a full meet and greet with her. She should appear on Pixar Pier with a few other different Pixar characters. I believe they're on like rotation and stuff like that. They have like different time slots, so I'll check that out. And yeah, I'm super excited to meet her. Like, it's Edna Mode. She's a fantastic character. And I'm actually recording this today, which is the 3rd of February. It's actually Pixar's 33rd anniversary, I believe, on this day of recording. So yeah, happy 33rd anniversary, Pixar, I guess. It's also 2319 day as well, so shout out to George Sanderson. And yeah, that's fun. But yeah, so that's the third main influential decision. Now, we're going to get down to number two now. Now, this number two is actually pretty much the main reason I booked. So this event was announced. I scrambled to book the trip, get a ticket. This is actually one of the Disney After Dark events, which Disneyland host. They've done a few different ones out of these. I believe they did a couple Star Wars Nights ones. The Star Wars One Night one looked incredible. It had some absolutely crazy rare characters, like really obscure characters there. And the entertainment, different photo ops, snacks and all that kind of things were just so impressive. Like, I was like blown away. So they announced this one and I went crazy, because this is like my dream event. So this is the 90s night at Disneyland. So it's going to be in Disneyland Park, and you're going to have a few different pieces of entertainment and loads of cool character meet and greets. So we don't know exactly who will be meeting and greeting yet, but on the promotional material, there is a picture of Mushu, and there's also a picture of Darkwing Duck. So that means we can take sort of two things away from this. It means that the Disney Renaissance era characters are pretty much going to be represented here. So let's think like Mulan characters, Hercules characters, Hunchback characters, fingers crossed, and all these different kind of moves from there. And also the Disney Afternoon characters are going to be represented. So I believe one of the main advertised additions to the night is that they're going to recreate Disney Afternoon Avenue. Now, if you don't know, Disney Afternoon Avenue was around in Disneyland in the 90s, and it was built up near Small World. And it was before Toontown was opened, and it led up to the opening of Toontown, and it's where you could meet loads of different cool Disney Afternoon characters, like Blue from Tailspin and King Louie, Darkwing Duck, Scrooge McDuck, you name it, they had that Disney Afternoon character there. It was incredible. Don Canage, all these people, Fat Cat. Look up it up online, like Webby used to do it, the nephews. There's a group picture, I think, of them from an event there where it's like so many different like 90s Disney Afternoon characters, like the Beagle Boys and all this crazy, crazy stuff. So I really recommend having a quick Google now and trying to find that group picture. But they're going to recreate that. So I don't know in what sense they're going to recreate that. If they're going to get some like projections out, or I really don't think they'll rebuild the whole set, but I'm thinking cool photo ops. I think that's where some of the 90s characters will be located. And my biggest hope is, while I know some 90s characters from Disney Afternoon don't meet anymore, so like the Gummy Bears and all those kind of people, they don't really come out anymore, the Beagle Boys and stuff. Don Canage from Tailspin has done a few meet and greets in almost sort of recent times, and I know that Disneyland have Don Canage and they can use Don Canage. So if I can meet with him, the night will be a big success. But while I'm focusing a lot on the Disney Afternoon characters, I feel like a curveball such as the Hunchback of characters coming out could be a big game changer for me, because I've only ever met Frollo from Hunchback, but I want to meet Quasimodo, I want to meet Cloppin, Esmeralda, all these guys, so that would be a big, big dream, and also some of the Hercules characters and stuff. But yeah, I feel like I'm really excited to get the list of actually who's going to be meeting and greeting, because I feel like there's going to be some big curveballs in there that I really wouldn't have suspected, and I'm going to have to try and plan my night around it. But we're going to get, like, I think a fireworks show themed around 90s Disney. The free gift that we get from the evening is a fanny pack, like a Disney 90s night fanny pack, which is such like a funny and interesting like novelty gift to give. Like, I think that'd be super funny and super cool. And yeah, we get the fireworks. I think there's like a parade as well, maybe. I'm expecting, from what I've seen before from these events, is there'll become some cool themed snacks, probably some awesome like photo ops and all this kind of stuff without characters, just general like cool like sets to have pictures with and all that kind of stuff, and maybe some different attraction overlays or something like that. But it's going to be amazing. I'm going out there by myself. It's going to be a solo trip. It's going to be one of my first ever solo trips to Disneyland. I've done it to Walt Disney World, I've done it to Disneyland Paris, but I'm excited to have my first ever solo trip to Disneyland. But I'm also going to be meeting up with some guys that I know, some friends who are also flying over from pretty much all over the world, really. I know a few guys, and I have some Disneyland friends who are based there who I'm going to be meeting up with. But for the most part, I'm going solo. This event is like my dream Disney event. Like, when it was announced, everyone was tagging me on it on Twitter and Facebook and all this kind of stuff, and everyone was sending me the link. And I have a very kind cast member friend who works at Disneyland who offered to buy me a ticket, because they got pre-releases if you're an annual pass holder, and they were an annual pass holder as well as a cast member. So I want to say a big thank you to you for helping me buy the ticket. You also shipped me the ticket all the way from the States to here. So you were a big help, and you're pretty much the reason that I'm being able to go to this. So a big, big, big thank. We'll meet up and we'll hang out. But yeah, it's incredible. It's really exciting, and I think that it's going to be one of the craziest nights. It's my favorite Disney park, and it's my favorite era of Disney. So all that put together is going to be one interesting, fun night, and I'll be covering it all live on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And I'll also be doing some like Instagram lives and stuff like that from that time there, but we'll check that out. So now we have got through all of the previous 9 points. We've covered things from food to attraction reopenings to new meet and greets for me, even more food, merchandise, all these kind of areas, shows and stuff. But one major thing which I'm going to absolutely lose my mind about being able to do this time at Disneyland is something that I never thought I would be able to do, not only at Disneyland, but anywhere. Now, you've probably already seen them if you follow me on my channels, because I literally don't shut up about these outfits. I know some people like them, some people don't like them. I'm absolutely insane crazy about these outfits. So as part of the Get Your Ears On celebrations, all of the VIPs who have celebration outfits will be meeting and greeting in Town Square every day, all day, in their celebration outfits. So that's Mickey in his confetti outfit. That's Minnie in her sort of polka dot dotty outfit. That's Pluto in his special collar. You've got the chipmunks with the little disco waistcoats on. Donald with his like confetti hat. Daisy with her crazy thing. Goofy. All these characters are going to be out all day, and you're going to be able to meet them in these outfits. Now, I didn't even think that I'd be able to meet Mickey and Minnie in their special outfits at Disneyland, because I know that they do a meet and greet in Town Square Theatre at Walt Disney World, but I don't know the next time that I'm going to be able to get to Walt Disney World, even if it is maybe in the time that they'll still be meeting in those outfits. I really don't know. So I was kind of at one with peace of maybe never getting to meet these Mickey and Minnie outfits, accepting that I'll probably never get to meet the confetti and celebration outfits for all the other VIPs. But Disneyland come out and just like, boom, all of these characters will be meeting in these outfits. So I will get to go around and meet all of these characters in their outfits. And Mickey's outfits with the cut-off trousers and the confetti jacket, I'm just crazy about it. I'm absolutely crazy about it. And I think it would not surprise me that every day that I'm in Disneyland, I will go and meet Mickey every day in that outfit, because it's one of my favourite Mickey outfits. It's so out there with the cut-off pants and stuff, so I'm addicted to these outfits. Like, some people know, like, I just don't shut up about these outfits, and I just love them. I think they're so much fun. They're such colourful outfits. Mickey and Minnie together in them look incredible. I can't meet Mickey and Minnie together in these outfits, but I can meet them separately. But to have them together would be the dream. But if I can get any sort of group pictures, since they're moving around or interacting or anything like that, that'd be cool. But yeah, get ready for Celebration Confetti Overlord on pretty much every social media channel of me just freaking out meeting these outfits. It's out of this world. I'm getting excited. So lots and lots and lots of things to look forward to coming up at Disneyland. It's going to be an incredible trip. It is, like I say, I don't get to go to Disneyland that often. My first ever trip was in May last year. I'm having two trips this year. I got booked. We're going this time in March for this 90s night. That's pretty much the main reason that I've booked to go on for. But the main thing I'm looking forward to is these outfits. But I'll move on from these outfits now. And I'm also going in the summer for D23 Expo, which is incredibly exciting. It's been a dream of mine to go there and sit through that Parks and Resorts panel. We're going with a big group of Disneyland Paris fans. DLP Town Square, we've got Darren, John, Matty, loads and loads of cool people. And hopefully this is the big year for some sort of Paris announcement, because we'd love to hear some Disneyland Paris news brought to D23 and some sort of big announcement. But also, Galaxy's Edge will be opening around that time, so that will be my first ever experience of a Star Wars land. Galaxy's Edge, we've been following this construction for so long, getting so excited, and it's so close now. When I was in Disneyland in March last time, I was getting like a sneak peek looking inside of it while riding Big Thunder Mountain and peeping through and stuff like that, trying to see it, and it's so exciting. It was so big. So I guess another thing I'm excited about seeing on this trip will be the how far forward construction is, because they're so close to opening this summer that it's the external stuff's going to be pretty much there, and anything can get sort of like peek inside or like anything like that. It's going to be so exciting because this land looks huge. But anyway, that's something to look forward to for the future this summer. But yeah, for this March trip, I'm going for just over a week. Hopefully going to cram as much as I can in. I'm staying off-site this time, but one of the most beautiful things about Disneyland is even off-site is only like a 5-minute walk away from the park, because Anaheim's so sort of built in and enclosed around Disneyland. So yeah, that's pretty much for this segment of my top 10 things I'm looking forward to experiencing at my upcoming trip. What we're going to do now is I actually have some questions from my friend who's actually visiting Disneyland for his first ever trip there very, very soon. And in upcoming podcast sessions, I'll pre-advertise sort of the questions or the topic that I can get different people to write in, answer different questions and stuff like that. But for the sake of this being the first ever podcast, I contacted Patrick and see if he could provide me just with some questions that he would like me to answer on air and anything that he might thought might assist people when they're planning. So I'm going to get into Patrick's questions now. Okay, so question one that Patrick asked me was actually a fantastic question, a question that I'm very passionate about answering. It is, what is the best quick service meal in Disneyland and DCA? Okay, so I'll kick things off here with talking about my favourite quick service meal in Disneyland, which is an absolute no-brainer for me. It has to be the Plaza Inn Fried Chicken. This is probably one of the best meals and dishes that I've ever had in a Disney park, just for its simplicity, how tasty it is, and also it has sort of like a almost not a cult status, but it's quite legendary and like infamous at Disneyland to have the fried chicken from Plaza Inn. You just get a few pieces of fried chicken, you get some mash, you get some green beans, and you get like this like American gravy, and it is just incredible, and it's such a good price for the quality that you get. You get it on like a real plate, actual cutlery. That's pretty much the norm at most quick service places at Disneyland as well. Quite a lot of the places have actual like cutlery and real like actual like pot plates and stuff. And it's just really nice. You can grab a table outside, or if you want to grab some AC, you can get a table inside. And mixed with sort of the experience of your surroundings, and then with just this really great, tasty, well-priced meal, makes it an absolute uncategorical win for me. I don't know if I could choose a close second. There's a few good places that I eat, but I feel like in Disneyland, like the big main outstanding one has to be that that fried chicken. I ate it a lot when I was there last time, and I plan to eat it a lot when I arrive in March next month. Okay, so DCA. Some people could argue that this is a snack with my answer here, but I think with how much it fills you and mixed with the cost and sort of the setting and the serving, I'm going to argue that it potentially could come under a meal. I mean, I ate one and it filled me. And it's actually the chili con queso from the Easy Corn Motels in Carsland. Now, they have a few different cones in the Corn Motel. They do like an ice cream soft serve from one place, do some churros in the other place. And there's this one place that does this chili. And it comes in a sort of bready, soft bready corn. Like, it's picture like a big ice cream cone, like a big fat ice cream cone, but made of like this soft bready dough. And it's filled with like the most delicious hot chili. And then it's topped with crushed nachos. And it is just incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. It fills you up. It's again really reasonably well priced. And it's portable, comes in like a little thing so you can carry around. You get a little spoon to eat the chili with. So you can be walking around Carsland while eating this dish, totally immersed in this incredible area, eating this really fun, tasty dish. I absolutely beyond recommend everyone. And even if you don't get the chili, try out just some of the snacks and some of the other offerings from Chili Con Queso, because pretty much everything that they serve from there is amazing. One thing I didn't eat from there last time was the ice cream soft serve. That you can get like just vanilla or chocolate or vanilla dipped in chocolate or a mix or something like that, I think it is. And these are huge soft serve ice cream cones. And I think I'm going to be trying that next time I go because I've heard some really great reviews about that. Oh, and another thing to mention about Plaza Inn, quickly just skipping back there, they usually have some really cool seasonal cakes in there. So when I was over for Pixar Fest, it had this amazing multicoloured cake. It was a big chunk of like slice of like this really nice flavoured cake. And I think for Get Your Ears On, they actually have, as I was previously talking about, a special food offering there, which is actually like a Mickey or Minnie cake, like a really fat chunk. So I'll be sure to pick that up. So if you're going during a season or a festival or something like that, if you're in Plaza Inn, make sure to check out what sort of desserts they have on offer. So moving now to Patrick's second question, which is another fantastic question here by Patrick, and something that I think everyone needs to know about, even if you've been to Disneyland before, if you plan to go on for in the future, is MaxPass. And Patrick asks, how can you maximize the MaxPass options with strategies, stacking, etc.? Okay, so for those who don't know, MaxPass is basically the it's an upcharge to your ticket. So once you've entered the park, you need to buy MaxPass. So it's like a $10 upcharge that you just pay on the app, and this gives you access to PhotoPass for the day and also the ability to make digital fast passes. Now, you can only make them for the day. You only buy MaxPass per day. Unless you have an annual pass, you can buy it outright. But for the common guest, we would walk in and just buy it for $10 on the app once we've scanned our park tickets in. I did it for every day that was there the last trip, and it is. It totally revolutionizes how you experience the park. I understand that's quite drastic, but coming from Disneyland Paris, where we still have the old paper ticket systems, and also Walt Disney World, where your days are almost so much so predetermined for you forever in advance, because you have to make these fast pass reservations like 60 days in advance and plan your days out. MaxPass still allows for the spontaneity of your Disneyland adventure, but while giving you so many different new options. So I would say absolutely everyone should have MaxPass when they go there. Not every single guest there uses it, which puts you already at a fantastic advantage. I did very little standby lines in Disneyland when I was there last May. The only time I did do a standby line was when there probably wasn't an option for FastPass, or the fact that it was really late at night when the park had emptied out, or really early in the morning, I could just pretty much walk on. So yeah, a really good tip for it is that when you pre-book a FastPass, it says that you're only supposed to be able to hold one at a time if it's in with a relatively close period of time. But for example, if it's for a much more popular attraction and you book one quite far in advance and it's just the beginning of the day, MaxPass is really kind to you, and it understands and recognizes that this booking is so far away, and it allows you to make a sooner fast pass. So, for example, if you book a Radiator Springs Races fast pass for 1 p.m., but it's currently 8 a.m., MaxPass will recognize this and maybe let you book another fast pass at, say, 9 a.m. So it's really good with that. It's always good to be on the app, checking the app and refreshing. Another case is as soon as you use a MaxPass. So as soon as you scan your ticket to get into the FastPass line, straight away then you can make a new FastPass reservation. So for example, if you are lining up for the Matterhorn and you've just scanned yourself in, while waiting to board the Matterhorn, you can be on your phone making another FastPass reservation for, say, Indiana Jones Adventure for half an hour's time once you've hopped off the Matterhorn. Now this is fantastic again, And I think it's just really, really crucial to stay on the app constantly, keep refreshing, checking things, and don't be scared to book a FastPass, which is quite far in advance, because, like I said, MaxPass does recognise this and it is really kind to the guest, and it will let you probably book one sooner, which we did multiple times, and really, really changed up the whole way that we experienced the park and were able to experience the park. So moving on to Patrick's number three question now. What is one souvenir you should take home? Now, I had to actually stop and have a think about this, because most people could say just the very much generic t-shirt or a Disneyland Spirit jersey, a special pin. And while I am a huge advocate, as most of you maybe know if you ever see me in the parks, for a good Spirit jersey, do love a good Spirit jersey. But depending on your level of fandom, I'd say, and your investment in the history of Disneyland and its land and its sort of lore and where it's come from and stuff, one piece of merchandise which I didn't actually pick up in March but I will absolutely be picking up in last May but I will absolutely be picking up in March is the silhouettes on Main Street. Now the silhouette, it can come with it or without a frame, and it's only $20 to get it done with a frame. You just go to this little store on Main Street, you sit down, this nice gentleman or lady will draw you out and then cut out with scissors your portrait and either give it to you or put it in a little frame for $20, which I really recommend doing. It's a lovely little frame with Disneyland inscribed on it. And this has been a tradition in Disneyland since a year after opening. So this has been operational on Main Street since 1956. And I think that is such a unique and interesting sort of merchandise, but also talking point to hang up in your wall or your living room, something like that. It looks classy, it's really nice, it's cheap for what you get, and I think it's a really lovely memento and something that's truly Disneyland at its essence, rather than obviously a pin that says Disneyland on it or a t-shirt that says Disneyland on it. I think this is something really unique, and it's just something a bit nice and tangible and stuff like that for you to bring home. So I'd really, really recommend checking that store out on Main Street. It's on about the middle way up Main Street on the right hand side, this tiny little silhouette store at the front of another larger store. The name escapes me of the store now, but you'll be able to see it. It's all in the shop windows and stuff. And I'm reading online the recommendations to go there is either while a parade is on or really early in the morning, because there can be a little line, but I've also been told that these guys and ladies work incredibly fast, so you wouldn't really be standing in line for too long unless it's a very, very busy day in the park. So question four, Patrick asks, how should you get to the resort from LAX? Which is another absolutely fantastic question, one that I'm going to be undertaking myself next month and that I did last time. Personally, it may sound a bit crazy to some people, just simply Uber or Lyft, which is an American company alternative to Uber. I use Lyft usually more when I'm in Orlando, but I believe it's fully operational and stuff like that in California, so maybe price up the two, download both apps. But yeah, just Uber. I think it's quite reasonably priced. I think you're going to pay like $50 to get from LAX to the Disneyland Resort site, which isn't terrible considering how far you're traveling, where you're traveling to and from. Yeah, it's so simple as that. I really love the Uber app, even outside of traveling and stuff like that. But when it comes to even traveling to Walt Disney World, even Disneyland Paris sometimes, Uber's great, because you walk out of LAX, as soon as you walk actually outside from the terminal that you'd land in, you're on a, like, not a main road, but a main airport road, and the Uber just picks you up right in front of you there. So you don't have to go to some really crazy place to find, or really far away from your departure lounge or anything like that. Oh, sorry, your arrival lounge. You literally would arrive, step out there, I think there's like a Starbucks and some stuff, then go outside, straight in front of you there, you can just set an Uber, and considering it's LAX, one will be with you so fast, like in minutes easily. And it's a long drive, so the guys are eager to take the lift and stuff like that. And yeah, do recommend tipping some of your Uber drivers as well sometimes, but that just goes in line with sort of the general American tipping system. So Patrick's fifth and final question, which he has asked me to read out on air, is any tips for meeting characters? Now, one thing that I tell people, I think I found this is more specific to Disneyland, but also sometimes in Walt Disney World, if you are used to Disneyland Paris character lines, and lines in general, to be honest, lines, for whatever reason, for characters, appear to move much quicker in the US parks. Now, I understand how character meets work. you have the characters themselves have targets to meet, how many people and guests and families they meet in a certain set time and stuff like that. And while that to some people might sound negative, I believe they have this in Paris as well, but I think it's just enforced more in the US. Well, that may sound negative to people, I've never in my time visiting Walt Disney World or Disneyland ever felt rushed through a character meet. But it's small things that their attendants do. Like, they have people have their autograph books ready. They have people get their cameras ready. They're shouting at you in the line, but in a friendly way, just like, "Hi guys, make sure you have all this ready. Mickey Mouse is super excited to meet you, but make sure you have your cameras out, your books, your pens ready." And they don't do this in Paris, but I understand that's potentially because of the language barrier or anything like that. But things like that add such a difference to how quickly you get through the character lines. And because a lot of the American guests and the guests visiting America are so prepared for these character meets, they just naturally get through them quicker without losing any of that interaction time. So you can still have amazing interaction and get cool pictures with the character and then by the character with themselves and some really cool interaction. It just seems to smoothly run much easier and faster and quicker. And yeah, I've unless it's like a super insanely busy day and you're going to meet the most popular character in the world, you're pretty much good. Like, obviously the standard rules apply. If you really want to meet someone, do them as early as possible or go onto the Disneyland Resort app and check their set times, which is key. Also, you'll often find a lot of Roman characters in Disneyland Park. So you'll see like Belle and Beast, maybe Mary and Bert, all these kind of characters. They do like roaming sets, the Tremaines. I don't know if they're scheduled or not. I'm pretty sure they're not scheduled. But just keep an eye out when you're walking around the park, usually early afternoon, lunchtime, maybe just before lunchtime. Especially Fantasyland area, you'll see some crazy characters. Like, I watched Belle and Beast ride the carousel together and all this kind of stuff, which is just incredible. Like, really, really, really cool. Alice and Hatter sometimes get on the teacups and all this kind of stuff. So just sort of be aware of your surroundings and just look around and stuff, because you never really know who you see. But for that, generally, yeah, it's set to stick to set times, know your set times. Look before you go, do your research on what characters you know will be there and you really want to meet, so you can sort of schedule that into your day and say, oh, Tuesday, it's my first full day. I have my absolute heart meeting Mickey in his confetti outfit. I know that he comes on stage at 9. I know he meets by the flagpole, so I'll be stood at the flagpole at 10 to 9 ready to go. And yeah, I just apply those simple rules and I think that have just your expectations set to normal wait times, but you might be pleasantly surprised by how quickly you actually move through these lines. And yeah, that's really my best tip for it, really. Same old stuff, and have the best time ever, because the character interactions at Disneyland are always really magical, and I have some really, really special memories from Disneyland with meeting characters and stuff, so have fun with it. So yeah, I want to thank Patrick ever so much for sending in those questions. It's incredibly helpful for him to send those in to sort of give me this first session. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. I hope it was beneficial to you in some way. If you're considering a Disneyland trip, you have one coming up, or if you've been to Disneyland and you may have missed something or not know about MaxPass or all these different kind of things. Moving on and forward with future episodes, I will probably pop out on Twitter or Facebook or something like that saying this is the segment for next week or the topic. Send in some questions and I'll happy... you discuss them on the air and give you some recommendations and stuff like that. So saying that, I think it's time to actually draw this very, very first episode of the Disney Golfcast to a close. If you're still listening, I want to thank you ever so much for welcoming me into wherever you may be listening, if it's on a journey or travel to work or commute or anything like that. Thank you for spending the past 50 minutes with me, rambling on by myself. If you have any feedback for the show, I would absolutely love to hear it, because I want to adapt and make this listenable for you guys and want to give the best experience and keep you coming back and listening. If you think we should talk about maybe more than one topic on the show, which might come apparent more with different shows when I have different things coming up. I have loads coming up this year, but I didn't want to overdo the first episode. I wanted to just sort of get the format out there just so you know how this is going to work. And I think that's it, really. Again, big thank you to listening. You can find me on Facebook at /DisneyGoth. You can find me on Twitter at DisneyGoth, and you can also find me on Instagram at DisneyGoth. I also have a blog up and running at the moment, which is sort of where I pretty much just throw up press releases and stuff like that. There's not so much many opinion pieces on there and stuff, but if you're looking to find information on specific things in a bit more detail, you can go to blogdisneygoth.blog.com. And yeah, thanks for listening. I've been Richie. You've been awesome. Thank you so much for listening. And that's it. See you in Disneyland.